Ooh, hi. Just made it.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and we do have our sponsor, Pape Machinery, with us today for the first hour. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They handle everything John Deere. Go up and see them if you need a tractor or an implement or a mower or anything John Deere. They can probably fix you up with it. They're a full parts, sales, and service outfit, so if you need something worked on, go up and talk to them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at
PapeMachinery.com. So P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E Machinery.
And so do they have, like, you know, John Deere pajamas and stuff like that?
You know what? They've got a fair stock of swag, yeah. They've got even got some of their John Deere hats and shirts. And in fact, I think all their clothing right now is 25% off. You can go up and get some deals. Put it away for Christmas.
Sounds kind of funny.
Yeah.
All the employees are wearing 25% off. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Just the socks. Hey, so Travis wants to know if you have John Deere masks. He's in there giving me sign language.
Yeah, I think we do.
That's a hard pass? No, not a hard pass.
I think if you pressed hard enough, you could probably get you a green and yellow John Deere face covering.
Oh, face covering. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You could tie the T-shirt around your face, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anything goes these days.
Hey, John Deere makes everything. They go from shovels to bicycles. I mean, they
do?
Oh, yeah. You can get it all
you
up
You get a
there.
John Deere shovel?
You could get a John Deere shovel. Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's got a John Deere brand on it. Yeah, they probably make it.
Sorry, you're keeping me away from the store so I can't go see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't put anything John Deere under the tree, will you?
I'm going to go up there and play with the stuff. I'll be back with the full report next week.
It has a little different feel when you actually put it on the shelf and then you have to take it off and put it under your own tree.
That's just sad.
It takes the fun out of it.
You have those little pedal cars, though?
Yes, we do.
Those little pedal cars are fun. Like, yeah. If you had, are they metal?
Both. They make the cast iron and they make plastic now with a little,
like the olden days,
hand lift loader. Yeah, so if grandpa's too old to run a real tractor, put him on a pedal tractor. He'll love it.
I was thinking more of planning for Christmas.
Oh, Christmas.
Since I'm done with summer, so not planning for Christmas.
Okay.
I have to watch you all the time. Let's see. Speaking of watching people all the time, better watch myself all the time. I'm on the wrong page. I was going to tell you about Dr. Chen. But Dr. Chen isn't on hold. That's next week. So now I'm time traveling. By way of spoiler alert, we're talking about China next week. So we have Dr. Wen Chen, the microbiologist, and Dr. Shizong Chen, the microbiologist. And they gave us the lowdown on the virus coming out of Wuhan, out of the lab back a year ago, February. So these guys are always at the forefront of everything. I think you'll like that. But this week we're talking about Arizona Stands Up, which is not a mispronunciation. So Arizona Stands Up, and there are groups like that all over the country. But we have Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Julie Wentz on with us to give us the full scoop. And Bill said basically if just a little aside, as long as Dr. Lyle's not listening right now, Bill said if he doesn't give him something new about the Arizona audit, he's done. That's
it. I'm done. I'm that's signing
it.
Out.
Feels like he's been played. Like, yep, Bill,
well,
they didn't.
That's a little out
they're
of context,
delaying the results just because
okay.
of you.
Throw me under the bus. That's fine. Lyle, I'll throw in one of those pedal tractors if it makes you feel a little better.
Don't do it. I love throwing you under the bus. I live for that. Sunday mornings, yes, Bill, under the bus.
Bill, so, thank you very much for throwing me under the bus.
Anything for you, Lyle.
I know. After 10 years of being on this show, I get finally thrown under the bus. Bad enough, your checks you sent me don't come.
Hey, I need you to run that last check through the bank again. It'll clear this time.
Clear for $1.85, but not $1.87?
Yeah.
You know, the bank told me they had never seen a check bounce as high as $1.85. They actually used it as a training video for danger in case a check comes in.
Yeah.
Seems too hot to handle. Yeah, it was very impressive, Bill. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I believe it. I've had checks bounce back so hard it'll knock your eye out. Yeah, so you got to be careful.
It was It was pretty high. I think it set a record.
Yeah.
So
you guys, thanks for letting me tag along today. I heard what you said, Bill. I don't have much.
Uh-oh.
That's what happened.
Cone of silence fell down on you.
Yeah, kind of. The paperwork's in. Everybody's reviewing things. Across the country, because now Arizona's finished and the report's gone in, other states are now moving quicker, which is exciting. Texas, for instance, has 500 different fraud cases open on voter fraud in various cities and counties up to the state level. But that's what's happening in other states. I think in one sense, Arizona led the way. I think other states would agree. We know that Wisconsin just about a week ago came out now, and they're launching their formal evaluation. They've also borrowed from Arizona, and they're going to pay for it themselves. They're not opening it up for other people to step in and pay. The state's going to pay. The state's going to run the audit. Michigan, the Secretary of State's come out and said that they believe that they need an audit now, which is really newsworthy because Michigan is so socialist. It's like California, New York, Washington. Georgia and Pennsylvania are still moving very nicely ahead. There are forensic teams have been advising them, and they are moving very deliberately to do forensic audits there. So, I mean, there are things happening. It's just not as quick as I think people want. I know people are frustrated. They're not frustrated. They're angry. They're just livid. And I think the more that the Biden people do, the more angry people are becoming, and they're wanting to see some results from Arizona and then these other states. I'm just not in a position to drive that bus. My role for the last 9 months has been to advise and consent on things, consult on things, but I haven't done the forensic audit. The ninjas did. I think last week, Aaron, I spoke to your Northern California group.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was last, whatever that was Thursday, I guess.
Was it last Thursday?
Yep.
And or just a few days ago?
A week ago Thursday, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, and you gave him kind of the latest list of results, which actually we should do in this program in case they didn't hear you a couple weeks ago. The list of the preliminary things that you can tell people came out of that audit, because they haven't heard it before.
Socks
off.
It's okay with you. I mean, I know it's your show.
What?
Aaron. That's what Aaron tells me, Bill. It's her show.
I was going to let that slide, but just go ahead.
I know you were.
Go ahead with your thought.
Well, since your check made such an impressive bounce, Aaron wrote me and she said it's my show, and I said, I'm not going to argue with you. I have somebody really dear on with us.
Yeah, and I was going
to. Julie Wentz.
Let me know.
I think she's got some really powerful things to share what Arizona is doing. And I'm not going to steal from her, but what she will share with you is other states are now looking at Arizona in this other area, and she'll talk about it, which is called Arizona Stands Up. I'm really excited to have met Ms. Wentz. Because we have already joined some forces to beat back what she's going to talk about, and it's just part of the multi-prong attack by the Biden people to incorporate Agenda 21 into our society as fast as they can. I personally, this is just me, I think they're concerned about Arizona's findings, and I think they're concerned that other states are going to follow suit, and then this is going to create such a constitutional crisis. So I think they're trying to slam down as fast as they can everything they can to disrupt our society. So I'm really excited that Julie's on, because her organization has already made some inroads to back them off in the areas of this injections, the shots that are being mandated. And I think this is really newsworthy, really timely.
I think so too, because, you know, we can't... you know, we can't do anything about the mandates. It can't always be a top-down solution. But at the end of the day, people have to agree to all these mandates. They have to agree to follow them. They have to agree to get the shot. They have to do all that. And I'm really hoping that there's enough empowerment out there that people will stand up. I think it's a great name.
I think that's what Julie. Yeah. I think Julie can really open your eyes to a bunch of things that are positive. And so, if it's okay with you guys,
yeah,
Julie Wentz.
We have like 4 minutes until the next break, but I wanted to actually add here because she did send it to me, so I should include this. It's posted on the site. Okay. Today is September 5th, 2021. T-minus 9 days to the expulsion of Governor Newsom, by the way, where we get that opportunity here in California to right a real wrong. Ew. So if you live in California and you're a registered voter and you have not voted to recall Governor Gavin Newsom and you're sitting around waiting for a ballot to show up, get to your county clerk and go get one yourself. Take that into your own hands. Okay, so Julie has an extensive background in marketing and management, in big box retail management, senior living communities, technology startups, along with decades of event management. Well, event management will come in handy on her thing here. She has a bachelor's at Oregon State University and spent 6 months in Vienna, Austria at the University of Vienna obtaining her international business degree. Well, that sounds fun. I might need one of those. I think, as a matter of fact, pretty soon I'm going to need an international business degree if I have to go to Vienna to do it. And she is also a respite foster parent for the West Valley in Arizona. So, Julie, I won't read the first part because you're going to tell us about that.
Yeah. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on this morning, and thank you, Lyle, for bringing me along.
Well, you're most welcome. I think you guys, if it's all right with you, I don't know if you have to do a commercial, but if you'll do the commercial, let's have Julie come back and really brief you on what Arizona Stands Up has already accomplished. And I think that will be really newsworthy, and your eyes will be opened.
I think so, too. So I don't know. Maybe we can do that early. Oh, yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up on the early. All right, let's take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Julie Wentz. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us, let's see, if you look up September 5th, 2021, you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
We're back. All right. Julie, I know that there's more than one stands-up group around the country. Were you guys the first, actually?
No, we weren't, but I do want to start saying I am praying over that recall for Governor Newsom.
Thanks for that. Thanks for California. Yeah, it's coming out at a basically a statistical dead heat on the latest things that we've seen that are not, you know, that are not being run by the mainstream media anyway. The inside polls are giving it a break even.
Yeah. Well, and I have family and friends that are still in California, so I know they're all behind this and everybody's been fighting hard, and we know that Soros already put money into it. So we're just praying that Newsom gets out of there, that the truth, you know, comes to light and he moves out of there. But back to your question, we were not the first stand-up group. What we did start last year is before we changed the name to Arizona Stands Up, I had started a group called Americans for Truth and Freedom a year ago May, because I knew that we had to go after what was happening. And I volunteered for another group for about 4 months, and I thought they were going the direction we needed to, but they weren't. So I left and ended up meeting my nonprofit partner, Teresa, and we kept talking, you know, who is filing lawsuits against the state of emergency, because every single thing that's been happening falls under these states of emergency. All of the mandates, all of the illegal, tyrannical, you know, constitution-killing rights that have been happening fall under these the state of emergency. So we couldn't find anybody in Arizona that was doing it, so we started looking for attorneys and, you know, reached out to all the normal pro bono ones, you know, Goldwater Institute, Pacific Legal, all the ones across the country, and no one would take it. And then we started looking for regular attorneys here in Arizona. We finally found one who was a constitutional law firm that understood what was going on, that, you know, knew behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff. And so we started raising the $25,000 retainer that they required to start this. And then when we had raised the money to a degree and then had promised money for the rest, we reached out going, hey, we have a couple questions. We're ready. And they're like, oh, sorry, we've been asked to represent DC in another case. So, you know, we can't help you out. It'll be a conflict of interest. And I was not a happy camper, as well as at least we knew that God was protecting us, because if he was willing to, if the firm was willing to stand up for the governor, we didn't want them anyway. So we started looking for more attorneys, and during that time, some of the mandates started dropping a little bit. So social distancing, relaxing, the restaurants opening up, Maricopa County Board sort of dropping their mask mandate. And the attorneys that we spoke with, they're like, well, you don't have standing anymore. You know, he's dropping all of these mandates. And I said, I know what he's going to do. And I know when the legislative body leaves session, because they've completely failed us, that he's going to start pulling this again. That state of emergency has to come down to stop all this, because there is no emergency. This is all bogus. So they're like, well, you know, we can't do anything. So since no attorneys would stand up for us, and we learned through all this time, you know, I never liked history. I don't like politics. This was never part of my life. And getting thrown into something where we're just, you know, two little females starting this group and getting it going, we learned quite a bit along the way, along with, you know, the corruption that's going on and the legal system, judicial system, executive branch, everything that it's just corrupt. We no longer have a government that works for the people, whether at a state level or a federal level. So during this time, we had found Ohio stands up.
Uh-oh. Oh, did we lose you, Judy?
Oh, something happened to the phone line. And Travis just ran in the other room.
Oh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The phone should be ringing shortly. And we will have them back. Something funky must have happened.
Well, it's definitely interesting to know that all the we lost our call there, Travis. It's interesting to know the other states are all jumping on now and moving forward with their audits.
I know it. See, that's the thing. Everybody thinks there's nothing happening, but I think it's a little bit like remember that it's funny. I was talking to somebody about that old Zig Ziglar. Remember that old Zig Ziglar thing where he talked about the biscuits?
Oh, yeah.
how the biscuits squatted down to rise. There you go. And bottom line was if you didn't do anything during that time, they got cooked in the squat. They came out flat.
Yeah, they got cooked in the squat.
That's what the cook next door told him. When the biscuits came out flat, he was like, what happened to them? And she said, well, they squatted down to rise, and they got cooked in the squat. And actually, if you look that up on YouTube, that whole thing is on there. It's actually pretty it's pretty good. But I don't think that's what's happening to this.
No.
I think that they are – I think they're waiting to rise till they have all the pieces together. So they've given that to the Arizona Senate. That's happening. But the fact that all these other states are coming forward and finding all these things and getting ready to do their own audits, I just think it's going to be very difficult for people to say there is no voter fraud. And we hear that all the time. We don't need voter ID because there is no voter fraud. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not really happening. So, So what's new with you, Bill?
Well, you know, I, well, what is new?
I can be moving farther away from the microphone.
Nothing new, really, Aaron. What's going on with you? I understand we got a caller coming in here.
There's always something new going on. So there is a Larry Elder rally today. Oh, Travis just took my phone. It had all the details on it. From 2 until 4, it's down in Durham, California. I don't think it cost anything to go. And I'll give you the info on that as soon as I get my phone back.
We're kind of coming unraveled here.
We're like a day late and a dollar short. Oh, so sorry. Let's see what else is happening. Well, let's see. All the forests in Region 5 are closed. I know people are really happy about that.
I'm back.
She's back.
There we go.
I was talking and then you guys just disappeared.
Yes.
So it's
right back at you. All of a sudden you got really quiet and I thought, well, that's an odd time to take that long of a breath. Are you all right?
I'm talking all of a sudden the phone just goes like,
the funny little noise. Hold on. Let me give them the last of the information. Okay. So Rally with Larry Elder, Sunday, September 5th, 2 to 4. It's in Durham Community Park. So if you need an actual address, cause Durham is so palatial, it's 1847 Durham Dayton Highway in beautiful downtown Durham. Just a little bit away from Chico, just in case you don't know that. So if you live in the North State and you want to go see Larry Elder, you basically have an hour and a half to get there, which should cover you from almost anywhere. And, okay, so, sorry, Julie, back to you.
No, that's fine. And I know, I think the last thing I was talking about was when we found Ohio Stands Up.
Yes.
And we had reached out to the lead plaintiff there and then also Tom Renz, who was starting that first lawsuit, because that was basically what we wanted to do, and they were a couple of months ahead of us. So we knew they had already said that, you know, they would help us when we got started. We could use the lawsuit and just adapt it to Arizona. So we had already started collaborating with them, as well as New Mexico Stands Up. Anna Garner, who's the lead attorney down there, had taken Tom's lawsuit and made it even beefier. So we'd already had that collaboration ready to go. So they were the first two states that got the lawsuits going. And subsequently, just during this period of time, we're already in August, so this would have happened back in November, December, both of their lawsuits were dismissed by the judge because the judge said that they were too difficult to move forward, which is just insane to begin with. So Anna has refiled. Tom is actually now working with America's Frontline Doctors on their lawsuits.
So for the people who don't know, give us a little bit, put a little bit more meat on the lawsuits. What are they exactly about, and what do they hope to get from them?
Well, what made Anna's even tighter, the whole point is to end the state of emergency in the states, because there is no emergency. And under the statutes that each of the governors have used to bring forth the state of emergency, it gives them power, continuous power, that they shouldn't have. So even just an example here in Arizona, the statutes that Ducey used to do this, under the state of war emergency, the ARA statute that he used, he was supposed to call in our legislative body within 24 hours to discuss this action of the state of emergency. Well, he didn't do that. I talked to one of the legislators. He did not call them in. And the legislative body also has the ability, if they were to step up with a two-thirds vote, they could have come up with a two-thirds vote in session, stopped him from what he was doing. So we knew last year, we all knew, that there was no emergency. We know what's going on with all of this. So they failed their positions of not coming together and stopping what he was doing. So this state of emergency has held up everything that's happening, because the perceived power that these governors have under this emergency is what's making everything happen. So each of these lawsuits were to take down the state of emergency, but what made Anna's even better, and hers ended up being, I think, 179 pages, and we had a Canadian high-powered litigator that was down here for a while, 30 years, you know, litigator up in Canada, and he looked at the lawsuit, and he's like, this is brilliant, and he's like, here it is, page 78, this is what's going to win. And it's basically saying to the state, there is no emergency, prove it. There is no emergency, prove it.
Oh, well, I like that.
Yeah, so since we can't get into the court system to even, like, Ohio made it to the point of discovery before it disappeared, we have a corrupt system that we can't even get in to get things done. So there's a handful of really good firms across the country that are fighting at the higher level. So you've got Liberty Counsel in Florida. You have Patty Finn in New York. You have Anna in New Mexico. She's part of American Frontline Doctors. You have Dale Bigtree's ICANN. So there's a few firms that are fighting at a higher level, but it doesn't help us down at the grassroots level where we're fighting the fires in every state that people are fighting for their lives, their freedoms, and humanity at this point. So it's where everybody has to step up and do it. So,
hey, Julie, you're fading away. There's a line open or something? Maybe?
No, I'm right here.
If you're on speaker?
No, so, I'm on my Bluetooth.
Oh, there we go. It stopped, whatever that was.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm right here.
Much
okay.
better.
I haven't moved.
you were getting drowned out by white noise. Might have been Governor Ducey. Does he have a white noise machine?
No.
It's a state of emergency. He might have a white noise machine. You don't know.
That's right. Yeah. They're everywhere. We know what's been happening the last few weeks with all of our internet.
Okay, Aaron,
anyway,
can you hear me?
Not surprised.
Yeah. You sound very echoey, Lyle.
You
Lyle does?
Yeah.
I can't hear Julie.
Okay. Right, I have
this is fun today.
Anyway, okay, so the lawsuits themselves. So
I was listening to Julie, and then all of a sudden, Julie went dark. Can you still on?
Yep, she's still talking.
No emergency. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I can't hear her, but I can hear you.
Okay. Am I okay? Still good?
Yep. Keep going,
okay.
Julie. It's
so
Lyle who's
with...
messing up the line there. Lyle.
Oh,
so dealing with this state of emergencies and knowing, you know, we've watched our legislative body fail the people. We've seen our governor, just like Newsom, do these tyrannical mandates when they don't even have the power. And I think the biggest thing is not only do people need to realize that all of our rights are God-given. You know, you look at our common law, the Bible, that's it. That's where our rights, our freedoms come from, are from our Creator. Our Constitution protects those rights. Anything outside of the constitutional rights that we have or our rights as free human beings is null and void. So what our governor and other governors have done is they don't even have the right to do these executive orders. They've been doing them for years, just like our presidents. But in our Constitution, the only ones that make the laws are our legislative branch. It's the executive branch, our governor's responsibility to execute those laws, and nothing else. They don't have the right to actually make these mandates, laws, whatever. So, but they've just been doing it, and people have been complying. It's just the way it's always been. We've lost our educational system on learning our Constitution. We've lost our knowledge. We've been, you know, been trained all these years to think that the government can control us, and now we're here. So since those lawsuits didn't go through and we couldn't even find attorneys here that would help us stand up, and gathering people here around the state, and there's a lot of good groups here around the state as well that are working to fight things. We started taking a different direction on educating and advocating for Arizonans. So we ended up taking a three-prong effect. One was we have Freedom Town Halls, so we bring people from the community in front of the public so they're hearing true information because we know the media is corrupt. And social media, everything trying to get out. People are not hearing the truth, so we bring people in front of the public so they can hear them speaking. The next piece was our Freedom Papers. So we kind of took a nod from our founding fathers and the Committees of Correspondence where they couldn't get accurate information out from the kingdom, so they created their own newspaper. So we've created a grassroots newspaper that gets uncensored information out to the people of Arizona.
That's
and
fun.
We're, you know, yeah, we're a nonprofit. We're just a little group. We're just, you know, raise funds as we go along for what we do. And businesses can actually become sponsors of our paper. That's how we can pay our graphic designer and our printers. That's all we do. We cover the cost of having it done. And our businesses get a sponsorship spot in the paper, and we have writers from across the country now that are adding to it. It's really cool.
That's great.
So it's just one more piece of information. And the third piece is our Medical Freedom Alliance. And that started with the launch of our Freedom Town Hall back in June, and we brought together medical professionals who, you know, anesthesiologists, physicians, chiropractors, nurses, naturopaths, talking about this whole last year and how they dealt with COVID, how they dealt with their patients, what worked, what didn't work. And it was great to have them in front of the public. So that medical freedom piece has been there this whole time. That's been kind of the fight. And because of what's happened, and we've just been staying the course, watching, you know, what DC's been doing and, you know, waiting for the next shoe to drop. He even put out, and what people don't realize is everything falls under the state of emergency. It gives him that perceived power, but he takes it as power. He put out an executive order in June. I think it was executive order number 14, and he slides these things by all the time. And because we're still under a state of emergency, he created what's called a surveillance advisory committee. And that,
well, that's got yeah. That's kind of happy.
Has a nice ring.
Yeah, the surveillance committee. What could go wrong?
Exactly. Isn't that nice? And it was a 10-page executive order. 10 pages. And what he did is every 24 hours that someone gets vaccinated, whether it's at a pharmacy or a hospital or a doctor's office, wherever, that information goes into to the Department of Health Services here in Arizona, and they transfer it to two federal clearinghouses. All of the information is going to the federal government. So, you know, nothing can go wrong with that. Let's just figure out who has it and who hasn't. And everything from a person's, you know, where they live, their ethnicity, where they got the shot on their body, who they are, their health history, everything is going in. And even in there, I mean, your HIPAA rights are gone. The HIE information that's supposed to be protected is gone. So basically you're just now just a data statistic. They're collecting it here and they're sending it to the federal government. So, you know, no conspiracies there at all. You know, who knows what they're going to do with it.
And then you kind of add to that, if they were actually using the real statistics, that might actually help us. But the problem is they take all the statistics and they feed them back to us in a different format,
yeah.
Which is why we're still having this mess. Julie, we have to take another quick break, and we will, easy for me to say, we will be right back with you. So our guest is Julie Wentz. She is the co-founder of Arizona Stands Up. We hope that you will go and take a look at that. It's AZ Stands, STANDS, UP, .org. So azstandsup.org. And we'll be back with our guest Julie Wentz. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. That would be the point. We're born free, and we'd like to keep it that
way.
To
stay
it doesn't
that
seem
way.
Like a lot to ask.
That is so true,
isn't it? Julie, tell. Well, anyway, you go, and then I'll ask questions later.
Okay. So, just following up on the Medical Freedom Alliance. So we've all been watching. We all know what's going on, and just like you do, and we've been watching everything that's been happening as it's all fall into place. It's almost like you could watch this book unfold or watch this movie unfold and know what's coming next. So we all knew that the mandating of the experimental gene therapy was coming. What I think is so interesting and so sad is that our frontline workers are the ones that are being targeted first. they were the heroes last year. They got us through everything, as well as our frontline, you know, first responders, fire departments, police right. departments, everybody. And they got us through last year. Nobody knew what was going on, but they put their lives on the line and they got us through. And now they're being targeted to take the shot first, which I think is just evil. I mean, everything about this is evil anyway. This is, you know, this is warfare we're dealing with and all of it's evil, but for them to be the first ones is just ugly. So knowing that they're getting hit first with this, it's like, all right, we have got to put all effort, because when it goes past this point, as it is already happening, it's going to go into every industry. We know what they're trying to do. And we thought we have to do everything we can to hold the line for the medical professionals. So everything that we've been doing, you know, just kind of has been set in stop right now as we put all the energy to help these medical professionals. So what we've done is, because this is basically our, this is our Alamo. If we can hold the line here for these medical professionals, we can do the same type of thing with other industries.
Yeah,
so that, what we did is
that situation's happening here in Reading too. I think one of our hospitals is requiring the nurses to all be vaccinated, and I think the number was 57% of them aren't.
Yeah, 57% were not, and they wanted to know what to do about it. And it's like, well, you know, without 57% of the nurses,
they've got
it's a large building with
a lot fewer beds. Yeah.
Right, right. And what's really sad, I mean, it's even though, I mean, you guys know what's going on in California and we're dealing with Arizona, it's like we have to take care of our backyard first, but up in Washington, so we have contacts around the country now that are not only wanting to start other stand-up groups like ours to get in the fight, but then also using the process that we're using to try and help. What's really sad is in Washington State, where my daughter actually lives in Seattle, and that Peace Health, who was the first one, they terminated a bunch of employees, I think it was September 1st, the ones that wouldn't take the shot, kind of like the ones down at Methodist Hospital in Texas. So a whole bunch of people were terminated at Peace Health. And what was really interesting and sad but very ironic is a lot of their the people that were quitting, they left their shoes with a note outside the door of where they were terminated from. And it was a scripture about when, you know, if you're not welcome, shake off your...
Shake the dust from your shoes.
Shake
sure.
the dust off and move on. And they left that scripture with notes with their shoes outside.
Ouch.
And, yeah, but how ironic when you look at, they at least left their shoes on their own terms when they were terminated, where you look at the Holocaust, same thing, the shoes were taken. That was against their will. There's such a parallel, even with that visual of what happened back with Nazi Germany and what's happening now. And the same type of thing. I just think it was amazing that those workers did that. So it's already happening. There's people getting terminated across the country.
Well, I know they have, they've been running ads here in Reading. One of the hospitals is offering a $15,000 signing bonus for nurses. Now, I don't know if that they have to be vaccinated or not. That might be something worth looking into. But I thought that was interesting that they were willing to pay that much for a signing bonus. I don't know. Does that sound like something that's common in that industry?
I'm not 100% sure, but we're seeing that. So not only is there a nursing shortage across the U.S., and we're also getting contacted by nursing students that can't even follow through with their clinicals to finish nursing school because the hospitals are mandating it. There's two things that have come up. Number one, our lovely governor just put out the other day that he's giving the hospital systems an extra $60 million to help them find workers to be, you know, to prepare or, you know, help them find the workers that they need now. Well, they're not even paying the ones that are here now. They're mandating them that they get the jab, but the governor's willing to take our tax money and give it to these hospital systems to try and help them buffer their their employee group because they're going to be leaving. So this is literally, we're playing a game of chicken right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is a giant game of chicken.
Well, at some point, they're acting like these people work at Taco Bell. And so if you can find, you know, a kid who can read and show up on time and wear the outfit, then it's good. These people have years of training. You can't just run out and just go get a whole bunch more.
No, and there's already a shortage. We've watched that, you know, time frame of, you know, I've been in senior living for 7 years. You look at that time frame of the greatest generation is about done. There's some of them that are still alive in senior living, but our greatest generation is done. The next one coming in is our boomer generation. We're going to be looking at, and that generation is even bigger than the greatest generation. And we're going to be looking at them needing care in the next 8 to 10 years. They're a healthier generation, but they're going to need the care. Well, there is not, because these nurses have retired along with the greatest generation and this incoming flex. There's not even enough nurses. There's not going to be enough to be able to take care of the boomer generation that's coming in. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And now you have the states and the government trying to fire and, I'm sorry, try to kill these nurses. This is intentional. So why would you work so hard to get your frontline workers injected with something that's experimental? Like, why would you do that? You know, that's where my head goes. So I have my own theories. But with these frontline workers, what we've done is going, all right, this is our Alamo. This is where we have to hold them. So we put together a document process to help them stand their ground. And some of the things we've done the last few months, we had learned, this is all not my forte. God's just kind of like thrown me into this. I didn't know any of this stuff, but I've learned a lot. We've been writing notices and affidavits and serving them on our governor, on our legislative body, on the attorney general. We've put the sheriffs on notice on their oath and the constitution that they have to stand up for, that they took an oath to protect, and the people. And have told them that we're going to expect them to stand up for us when the time comes. So there's been a lot of other things that have been going on with notices and affidavits that we, the people, the common man and woman, are doing, because our legal system's just gone. You know, the whole government's just gone. We have to do this now.
Yeah.
We have to do this. So it's a new game. You know, I'm not playing their game anymore. We're done playing their game. We're going to create a new game. We're changing the game, which means. It's so hard because there's so many people that are just now waking up. And, you know, we've been at this for so long. But when I have a sweet new nurse that comes to one of our meetings and says, you know, what about this and what about this? And, you know, things that we've spent a year and a half, like, trying everything and doing everything. And I said, you have to understand, anything that's true and honest and loving and ethical and common sense and real is off the table. It's gone. Everything is upside down, and there's no more rule. You have to understand that, because the government and what everyone is doing to the people is completely illegal, completely invasive, disseminating our constitutional rights and our God-given rights. So guess what? There's no more rules, because they're not playing by any rules, which means we have to make the new rules.
So
we have to change.
You had mentioned earlier the HEPA laws.
Yeah.
Is there any pushback on all these HEPA violations? I mean, just, you know, exposing people's vaccination status. I mean, that in itself
is a violation. Yeah, you have to declare your medical conditions in public to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Although HIPAA keeps hospitals and doctor's offices from giving out your stuff, so I'm not sure.
Well, even a private business that says, hey, I want to see your vaccination card before you come in my store, I think that's a violation. I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
But I just I don't hear anybody pushing back on that, because it's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere because there's no more rules. They're doing things that are completely illegal. Everything that is happening is illegal, but there's no one standing up to it. There's, you know, other than that handful of lawyers, and you have all of the government and the global money backing what's happening, there's no more rules. So people have to realize everything that's happening is totally illegal. So then what do you do to counteract that?
Exactly.
The people have to stand up because the rules are gone. Everything that are you know, I think about, you know, the phrase, woe to those who think evil is good and good is evil. Everything is upside down right now. Nothing is the way it should be.
Well, Aaron was on a flight last year, I think it was, or year before, where they forced her to go back to the back of the plane and talk to a doctor. Or
it was, as they termed it, you have to talk to our doctor.
Their doctor.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, because she wouldn't wear a mask, and this is before the big mandate and everything, but they were all freaking out because she has asthma. And they said, you have to go back and talk to this doctor. Well, again, that is so illegal. That this guy, how do we even know he's a doctor?
I was actually having a really severe asthma attack and was using my nebulizer at the time. So it was really obvious. I mean, I was white as a sheet, gasping for air. And they've said, well, you know, we can't take off until you talk to our doctor. And here, you know, I mean, basically, it was, I don't know what kind of plane it was, but it felt like a football stadium. So the whole football stadium is looking at the woman who's screwing up the flight and won't let the plane leave. So I stood up and I walked to kind of like the middle where the bathrooms are in those giant planes. And I looked at the guy and I said, you're not my doctor. I don't know you. And I'm not talking to you. And I turned around and I went and sat down.
Right. Again, completely illegal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you could have been a veterinarian, you know, not that veterinarians are bad. I love the veterinarian, but bottom line is this guy doesn't know me from Adam. And what was he going to do?
Right.
You know,
yeah, he doesn't know your medical history. He doesn't know anything.
And it didn't have anything to do with them. I was fine. Like, leave me alone. I'll be fine. But no, I'm not putting on your mask. I even had a note from my doctor that I got the minute this thing started because I kind of thought I might need it. Had a note from my doctor that said I couldn't wear a mask. So, but the fact that I was white as a ghost and gasping for air should have been a clue. And yet they were just so like, must have mask, must have mask. That was United Airlines, by the way. Everybody else was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I flew back and forth to Missouri. That was the end of June. We flew back. It was the Houston to Colorado somewhere. I think it was Denver. Houston to Denver, maybe, of United Airlines. And they were just jerks. And then from Denver to Sacramento, they were super nice again. So
it's crazy. All the things,
but they think it's okay.
Yeah, and how many people have been blinded by this? They just don't see what's going on, and they've just been, you know, the little sheep that are walking along doing what they've been told to do. And it's interesting, like through this time frame, even with the, you know, the words we heard in the beginning, the mask helped you, it helped me, we're in this together, all this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah.
All this virtue,
don't you care, you know, about your fellow citizens?
Exactly.
We should do a whole segment on that. Let's do all the...
Right.
let's get them all on tape in case, you know, this goes into a time capsule, and at some point in the future, they're like, you guys were doing what? Yeah, because this is...
Exactly. I know, somebody needs to be writing all of this down. Well, even if we make it to the other side, somebody needs to be writing all this down.
Can you imagine, like, you look back and, you know, people look back at, like, television shows and stuff like that, and it's like, when did we become China? Like, everybody's
right,
wearing
exactly.
a mask. That seems weird.
Yeah, we know exactly when we became China, and that's the whole intent. It's just, it's evil, and it's just dividing. It's so divisive, even with the virtue signaling, and, you know, like, even I've lost, you know, half my family. Half my family gets it, half doesn't. They don't see it.
That's the hard part. We're all kind of chained together on the good ship Lollipop with our families. And
right.
Hopefully we can help them. We're going to come back on the other side of the break with Julie Wentz. We are talking about individual liberty, actually, and her group, Arizona Stands Up. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. So here's our ode to the COVID thing.